Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good.
This church, you have to always wear a collared shirt when you preach, or you can't be mic'd. That's how you have to look nice. The title is Seeing the Vision, Having Goals, and Maintaining Your Convictions. That's the title of the message. Seeing the Vision, Having Goals, and Maintaining Your Convictions. Turn to James chapter 4. Hebrews and the book of James, 1st and 2nd Peter. James, the meat and potatoes gospel. James chapter 4, verse 17. Says, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. The title is Seeing the Vision, Having Goals, Maintaining Your Convictions. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word, Father. God, we thank you that your word, it abides forever. It'll always be with us. God, it's written on our hearts. Lord Jesus, you said it'll never pass away. God, heaven and earth will pass away. These lives, as we experience it now and as we know it, will pass away. Our bodies, as we experience them now, will pass away. God, friends and loved ones come and go. Lord, our lives are fleeting. Your word says it's like a vapor. It's here and it's gone. It's like a wisp of breath. But your word lives and abides forever. It's strong and it's living. God is powerful. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for your blood that we can come together as a family and worship God in music and worship in your word. We just worship you, Holy Spirit, and we pray you come and indwell your people, not just me, but everybody here. Give them hearing ears to hear your word, Father. And God, just grace us with your presence, Lord. Just come, and it's all death. It's all striving without your presence, God. Just make your presence manifest and real, God. Just make it real, God. Come and be with us in this place, Lord. Walk with us. God, let us walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Seeing the Vision, Having Goals, and Maintaining Your Convictions. It's kind of a fun title, huh? I just want to say it over and over again. Seeing the Vision, Having Goals, and Maintaining Your Convictions. I started with 3 points, and my first point was about 4 pages. So this is going to be a 3-part series, I think, thanks to my beautiful wife. She makes lovely suggestions. So you're going to get this in 3 parts. It might not be as preachy today. I'm not going to guarantee it's not. I was going to tell you I wasn't going to preach, but I just can't guarantee that. I'm already hot and sweaty, so I might get more fired up. So I have something that's pressing, just kind of a reminder from the Lord, a reminder about, you know, where our focus should be and how our lives should be lived and just kind of how we should walk the walk and things that are going to be found in a real intimate believer's life, things that you're going to possess in your heart and in your mind as you walk with the Lord. We're going to talk about a few points under the heading of your convictions. This is a thought I had. To say that we all run the race in this life, in Christianity, at the same speed is not true. So many in the race are made so beautifully different. We don't all run the same speed. Some run slower and some run faster. Some are louder and some are more quiet. Some fall on their face often and some only occasionally falter. But the amazing thing about Christianity that's beautiful and why we're all here is because we all have the same goal. It's all the same purpose. We all have the same focus. You and I, we strive to attain the same thing. I want what you want and we want Christ, and it's about that goal. And none of us, according to the Word of God, are running alone. It might be a little bit different speeds, but we're never alone. Even if you didn't have a church, you'd never be alone. You don't run alone. And other than our salvation and being covered with the blood of the Lamb, that's so beautiful and wonderful, and that's why we're here, what really makes us different from one another? I'm going to talk about what makes us different from one another and what makes us different from the world. And obviously, it's in the title. It's having vision, having goals, and maintaining your convictions. And I know you're kind of thinking, oh, geez, what the heck does he mean by that? But it'll come out okay. You're required to be different from the world. You have to be. If you're not, then you're the same. But what we're going to talk about is you'll be different from me too. We're different. The way you walk, the way you talk, the way you act, the convictions that God puts on your life, His standards He places in your life individually are different than mine. So we're going to go up a little bit higher. We're going to talk about a little bit deeper Christianity than just the surface level. But we're all bought by the blood, right? In the same way, He took up the cup also after supper, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it, do it in remembrance of me." So we're all covered by the blood. It's equality. I mean, as we heard this morning, He doesn't have favorites. He just has intimates, right? "And through Him, having made peace through the blood of His cross, it pleased the Father to reconcile all things to Himself through Him, whether the things on earth or the things in heaven." So it was through the blood of the cross. We're all running the same race. So of course the blood makes us the same, right? The blood covers us all, and the blood makes us so different from the world. The Holy Spirit inside of you makes you so different from the world. It better. Different because you're changing. And I'm going to use the word evolving. It's not a bad word, okay? Don't think he's swearing. We're evolving. We do. We evolve. You change. The way you see things, the way you act. I've evolved since I was first born again. I've changed. You know what? There's been an evolution in my life. There has. And I've changed. And you grow. And the way you talk changes or regresses. Some people don't always go forward. Sometimes you slide back into old ways and old habits, and that's something we're going to talk about tonight too, because it's so important. And I'm just going to talk about my title for a second. This isn't in my notes, but as a Christian, you have to have vision. And I'm not talking about dreams and I want to be a millionaire someday. It's not about that vision. But you have to have a vision that this is what the Word says. And I envision that, and that's my purpose, and that's my destiny, is to attain heaven. My destiny is to live for the Lord with all I have, and that's my vision. And it says in the Word that without a vision, the people perish. So you personally have to have a vision. Each day when I rise up in the morning, you have a small vision and goals for that day. I'm going to go to work. I'm going to work hard. I'm not going to die. That's my vision each day. I'm going to live for this day. I'm going to come home to my family. I'm going to be safe. I have a vision for that day. I'm going to be the light of Christ to somebody. I'm going to try. I'm going to guard my tongue. Not by myself and in my flesh, but that's my vision, the light of the Word and the Holy Spirit inside of me. You have to have goals. You have to have a goal. And you know what? I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm going to talk about this in 2 weeks, but the Lord really was dealing with me in a few weeks ago, and I remember He just kind of said to me, "When was the last time you really just wanted to be holy?" Because I remember in Bible school, that would like well up inside of you. When was the last time you just sat there and you're like, "Oh, I want to be righteous. I just want to be pure. I want to be this man that people like, that fall over and I walk by, He's holy, When was the last time you had that in you? Like you desired that, I want to be right. I want people to see me that way, and that's a goal. It's not a bad thing. We strive after those things, and that's not bad as long as you do it with the right heart. You're not leaning upon the arm of flesh. As long as you're leaning upon the Holy Spirit and God's Word, it's not wrong to have that goal to be better in Christ. I want to be better than what I am. And lastly is maintaining your convictions. Maintaining your convictions, which is what we're going to talk about tonight. There are three things you need to have. I think they're important that you have them as you come up higher and go farther with Christ, and it's those three things. Jesus will breathe these into your life, and these are also tests of intimacy with the Lord. When you're a person with vision, when you're a person with goals, and it sounds like I'm like doing a motivational speaking, but I'm not. When you have a vision, you have goals in Christ, and you have convictions that are birthed through intimacy, that's a sign of you having time with the Lord. Someone that has goals. I mean, you take all the men of God, you read in this book about men that had purpose, men that had vision in their life. You know, you look at all through Judges and you look at the ones that had vision, and I'm going to change this. I'm going to rise up and be something different. You look at men of God like, you know, you look at A.W. Tozer and you read about, you know, you read about Smith Wigglesworth and Moody and these guys that had vision, they had a goal, they had a purpose, you know. There was something they desired to attain in Christ. That's not bad. That's good. And that's something we need to have inside of us. And as you come up higher and you raise the bar, those things will start to be birthed inside of you. And that's one of the things, that's what I want to talk about tonight. They're unique to godly character. And some of you are thinking, oh, geez, you know. But you'll see that many of you, if not all of you, already possess these in your life. They're just not as prevalent. You don't think about them every day. You don't think of every day in Christ, think about, oh, I have a goal for today. My vision is this, you know. But you do, and I'm going to bring it out that you do. Tonight, let's talk about convictions. First, let me define for you what the word conviction means, because I'm going to use it in a couple of different ways. It's a firmly held belief. It's a belief or an opinion that's held so firmly, you're willing to die for it. It's something that's ingrained in you and rooted in you that you can't be moved or shaken. It's a principle, it's a faith, and it's a persuasion. It's a view. It's a certainty, it's certitude inside you. It's a confidence, an assurance, and it even means passion and a fervor, a conviction. Let me give you just a simple example. My conviction is that Jesus Christ died for me. He rose on the third day, and His blood cleanses me from all sin. That's my conviction, and you won't steal that from me. That's a conviction we all share. We all share many convictions. We have strong convictions that we all hold in common. You know, we don't do certain things, we don't say certain things because those are our convictions as believers. But tonight, I'm not going to talk about the corporate ones. I'm going to talk about the personal ones. How it's important you have personal convictions just between you and the Lord. And they are a sign of intimacy. And you'll see it in the Word. You're like, where's he getting this out of the Bible? I'll show you how your convictions, they birth Christian discipline. Convictions are a God-given thing, and they teach you in discipline. These convictions that you have personally between you and the Lord, they're never flaunted. They're never to be bragged about. You don't go and tell your friends, hey, me and the Lord have this in between us, and this is what I do and don't do, and so you should probably jump on board. It's not like that. I don't go flaunt my convictions. I don't do this and I don't say that. So if you don't act like me, then you're probably not as good of a Christian as me. It's not like that. It's convictions between you and the Lord. And listen to this. These personal convictions we seldom talk of because they are the offspring of love between you and the Father. Did you hear me? These convictions that we share between us and the Lord are offspring between love between the Father and you. Let's go up higher. Let's raise the bar. Convictions that you hold about the truths of God's Word. And that's where your convictions, your Christian conviction is going to come from. It's going to come from the Word. It's never, ever going to come from your flesh or some sort of mandate you're placing upon yourself. That's not a conviction. That's you know, you're trying to buffet yourself or discipline yourself to do something. Getting up to exercise every day is something you can do on your own. If God speaks to you to do that, that's one thing. But Christian convictions are going to come straight out of the Word. You're going to find them in here. As you're reading, God's going to speak to you, and He's going to say, you know, I want you to act upon this. I want you to live this way. I want you to omit this from your life, a certain thing. I have this against you, or I have this for you. You're doing good in this area. Go up higher. Take it farther. Be more disciplined in that area. God builds on those things in your life to create discipline. Christian discipline is such a topic of agony for me. I'm a lazy, lazy man. Lazy loaf. I don't like to be disciplined. I don't like to have to subject myself to mundane tasks. I'd rather veg out, you know? And I know you're like, well, me too. But no, you don't understand. You don't get it. I'm bad that way. And it's always been that way for me. That's always been a topic of concern between me and the Lord about being disciplined and walking the straight path. You know, and it's as simple as me just sitting on the couch when I should be doing something else. It comes down to that simple when the Lord's like, hey, bud, come here. You need to spend some time in the Word. And I'm like, but the Food Network's on. Come on. Recipes. That's me. Let's read about somebody else, though. Turn to Judges chapter 13. Judges chapter 13. Let's get into the Word, and you find out I don't make everything up. It's actually in here. Judges chapter 13. It says, again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. There was a certain man named Zorah of the family of the Danites, and whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, indeed, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now therefore, please be careful. Do not drink wine or similar drink. Do not eat anything unclean. For before you shall conceive and bear a son, behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb. He shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. I spent a lot of time reading about Samson. I found myself in my weakness, same weakness, and I always found it so amazing how he was the weakest man in the Bible. The physically strongest, but man, he was the weakest. He was strong as an ox, but he had the self-control and willpower of a baby. Threw fits and acted out in his flesh and did anything he felt like doing. So weak. But yet, God put these convictions on his life, the Nazarite vow. And I mean, if in the Old Testament, if you're not... It's not like you're going to go to hell if you're not taking a Nazarite vow. I mean, there's things in our lives that are okay. There's things that are fine, you know. But this was a mandate from the Lord, something to come down, something through intimacy. I mean, these parents were praying for a son. She was barren, you know. It's a reproach. It's a shameful thing. Back then, it's, you know, and we find Hannah crying out, give me a son, you know. Give this to me, Lord. I desire this in my heart. And, you know, we come to a place of intimacy. God, make me like you. God, change me. God, work on me. God, break me. God, use me. And he said, okay, I will, but there's some things in your life. I'm going to put some convictions in your life. I'm going to talk to you. We're going to have a relationship that involves you changing. Some different, and this is a meat and potatoes word. I should have prepared you. It's a little bit more of a teaching. And no doubt they burned for a son. And the convictions God put on Samson, we all know, don't cut his hair. Don't cut his hair. You know, and she's not supposed to drink any wine or any fermented, you know, anything from the vine while she's pregnant. And when after he grows up, he's not to cut his hair. He's not to drink anything of the vine. He's not to go around dead bodies. He's not to go around anything that's dead. You know, he has a specific conviction, specific parts of his life that are to be obeyed. You know, and I don't know if I'm being clear on my point. Many people in the Old Testament didn't live this way. Does that mean they weren't good people? They weren't Christians? They didn't love Jehovah? Is that the case? No, absolutely not. There was good God. I mean, look at his parents. Good, godly people, you know. They didn't live that way their whole life, but God blessed them. And it's the same concept in our lives. Having the truth that God's shown you, you know. He comes, he speaks to you. This is what I want you to do. Just between me and you. This is the way I want you to do it. And those convictions that he put on Samson were just as much for his parents. That's something I always meditate on. I was like, you know what? How was that little boy supposed to know he wasn't supposed to do that? You know, he's growing up and he's getting this long hair. He's starting to look different. He probably got made fun of. He looks different. He acts differently. He can't partake in the same things everybody can. And it was up to his parents to help him, to encourage him. No, son, you can't do that. No, I know you want your hair cut. I know you do. I know they make fun of you, but you know what? This is something that me and your father feel so strongly about from the Lord. It's just not going to happen. No, you can't drink that. I know all the other boys are doing it. And it's the same thing with you and me. It's the same thing. There's things in your life that are between you and the Lord. That's between you and the Lord. And you don't partake. And so it was so much of his parents' convictions along with his own. When you hang on to the truth that God has shown you so strongly, it's called a conviction. That's what I mean by that. It starts to influence what you do and who you are. It changes how you think because you're becoming more like Christ because he's starting to take things out of your life that he doesn't really like and put things in that are good. It changes how you act. You start to resemble the Lord more. You may not recognize it, but all of those who walk closely with Christ, including you, have personal convictions. You may feel that you don't, but you know and I know that we both have sincere, passionate beliefs that we hold on to. Views even about the Word, about some like even doctrine, even theology. I hold to the belief and just give you a quick example. Nobody in the world can tell me that alcohol is okay for Christians to drink. Nobody. I will debate and fight you on that until you fall asleep. And one of the easiest ways for me to talk to people about that is because of my job. I don't even have to talk about the Word to debate you on it. I can simply debate you out in the worldly realm and you show me one good thing that comes of it. If you can show me one good thing, then I'll side with you, because you can't. It is altogether wicked. It is evil. Everything that has to do with crime evolves around that substance. Guarantee you. I mean, I'll just tell you, people, I've seen it. I've seen the gamut. And you can't ever persuade me to be a sipping saint. You can't. And if you are, you better stop it, because God has something against you. That was heavy. That's a conviction I hold. And you should too. That's one we should share. But, you know, there's certain convictions that are temporary too. And this is a simple example, because I know a lot of people need examples. I'm a visual learner. My wife, I can hear and I can see and I can handle it. My wife has to be hands-on. She has to see it and touch it to understand how it works. I can't just describe something to her and she understands it. Somebody can describe something to me and, man, I got it. Bam. My mind's eye. You give me directions, I'll drive straight there. That doesn't work with her. She's different. So let me give you an example. Like a temporary conviction, something simple like fasting. You know, God says, you know, I call you to a fast. I want you to fast for such and such amount of time. You know? And I was thinking how funny it would be, you know, people hold these convictions to be like, you know, you should have the same convictions of me and you should, you know, fast when I do. You know, if that's so holy, I mean, how long can you fast? Can you fast for a year? Can you not eat for a year? You'll die. Some convictions are temporary so that God can do a work in you. And that's a simple example. Once I heard Nicky Cruz say this. He was preaching and I heard him say that convictions are beautiful. And he described the fact that they're birthed between you and the Lord, and it's something nobody can take from you. Nobody can take that from you. Something that's birthed in the prayer closet or birthed through time in the Word. It's something God speaks to you and requires of you personally. And it's something precious. It's like a jewel and somebody can't take that from you. That's how we described it. With Samson, he was set apart. By being faithful in these things, he was showing forth obedience. And he looked different. He acted different. And it's going to be the same with you. And the reason for this is that it's to encourage you to be different, to act different, to go to the Lord and ask Him and say, what would you require of me? Not that it's a works-based mentality, but what would you require of me so I can come up higher, so I can go farther, so I can be closer? What would you have me do that I'd be more like you? That you would start getting it all out and putting more of you in. Now, this is the mainstay of what I wrote, and this is what the Holy Spirit gave me. God-given convictions maintained in obedience birth power and strength. And that's simply the life of Samson. God-given convictions, God-given, maintained in obedience to the Lord and the Word, birth power and strength. And I'm not making a new doctrine, I'm just saying according to the Word, when we share these convictions that Christ died for us, the blood cleanses us, you know, this is wrong, this is right, I'm to love my neighbor with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. And when somebody strikes me on the cheek, I'm to turn the other one. When somebody asks me for my cloak, I give them my cloak and my tunic too, and I don't ask it back. When someone asks me to go 1 mile with them, man, I go 2, because that's my conviction according to the Word, and that's what we hold strong to. And we maintain those in obedience, it's going to produce a Christian discipline and a strength in Christ in you. And that's what I'm talking about. When we hold to these convictions of the Word and the world doesn't sway you, why do you go to church every Sunday? That's so religious. We just have to go every now and then. You know, you can have church at home. You can read your Bible with your family. You don't have to go to a building where people are. You could just read your Word, you know. Just read a verse a day. Every morning before you get out of bed, let the Lord speak to you. My conviction is that I'm at church when the doors are open, because I want to change. God's put it in my heart that this is where I'm supposed to be, so that's where I'm at. And some people are in different places in their life. I'll give you an example. My father-in-law, you know, they're in a place where there's not a lot of churches. And you know, I used to think that was a cop-out, but it's actually true. I've been there. There's not. You know, you can choose a Nazarene church or a hardcore Baptist church. I mean, there's not a lot of choices unless you want to drive for 3 hours. Every Sunday morning. And you know what? You go and God says, you know, why don't you spend time in this church and sit in the back and pray that I'll change it. But at least you're in the body. So he goes. Because he holds that conviction. When you can sit in your butt at home and you don't have to go anywhere or go out of your way or, you know, be inconvenienced. But, you know, certain people hold convictions. And that done in obedience is going to birth a Christian discipline. It's going to birth a strength where you can stand and know God told me that this is what He wanted of me. And that's what I'm going to do. And everybody in the world is going to try to take that from you. The devil hates that. It's a mark of intimacy. It's a mark of relationship. Who knows my wife better than I do? Nobody. I know how she thinks. And when you have those convictions, it's something somebody asks of you. I know she wants me to do a certain thing before she asks me to do it. It's the same with the Lord. I know what He asks of me. I know what He expects of me. And when I maintain that in discipline, it brings us closer. And it'll bring about strength. It'll bring about power. Pretend I'm in prayer. Okay? I'm in prayer. And the Holy Spirit says to me, He says, you know, there's a lot of bad movies out there. I want you to only watch G-rated movies for a while, okay? No more other movies. Let's cleanse your mind. Just don't watch those anymore until I lift it. Only G-rated, no others. Be a little less tainted and a little more focused on me for a season. And you receive it from the Lord. You get that in prayer, in intimacy with the Lord. And He says, you know, this is one thing, you know, just between you and me. Don't go telling everybody. This is one thing I'd like you maybe to change in your life. And it's birthed in you. So you start to walk it out and you carry it out. And guess what happens 2 days later? All your friends call you. And they say, hey, we're having a movie slumber party. Come on over. Every time. Every time. Oh, the movie's only PG. It's not bad. There's nothing bad in it. And immediately, the Holy Spirit says, remember what we decided together? Remember what was just between us? Why don't you just not this time? Oh, come on, it's not that big a deal. It's just PG. But the Lord already talked to you about it. He already tried to bring you up higher. You asked Him to change you. And what do you do? That's just a silly example. What do you do? I'll tell you right now, I have blown that test hundreds of times. Hundreds. I don't know how many times in my life I've started a fast and I was like, it's probably just my flesh. Or you're like, the Lord's like, why don't you fast for the next 2 days? Okay, Lord. And then, ring, ring, you guys want to go out to eat? Hey, you want to go out? Let's go. You get in the car. And you're at that restaurant and, no. All the time. It happens all the time. Does the Lord chastise you for that? That's between you and Him. That's between you and Him. Because He wants to take you up higher. It's about going up higher. It's not necessarily about you going to hell or sin. What I'm talking about is you going the extra mile with the Lord and Him being able to control your life and surrender your life. Having Christian discipline, Christian convictions. Some are big, some are small. None of them make you saved. None of them make you holier. Did you hear what I said? They don't make you holier than the blood of Jesus has already made you. They just make you more like Him. Okay? He wants to teach you obedience, teach you devotion and discipline, and teach you sacrifice. There's a book I read, and I'm going to tell you the title. It was The Mark of a Man. The Mark of a Man. I read it a long time ago, and there's some good truths I got out of it. And one of the things the author said is, she said, the steel of manly character is forged in the fires of control and denial. The steel of manly character is forged in the fires of control and denial. And it's the same for steely woman character too, is no different. One thing that convictions and the assurance of what God wants of you begins to do is they begin to set you apart and pull you away. Because what's immediately what happens when your friends call you and ask you to go to that movie? You're on the outside looking in immediately. You think Samson felt pretty cool when his hair was down to his ankles? Said he had 7 locks. Can you imagine him having to throw them around his neck? Wrapped all around his head and tied around his body? He didn't look very cool. But yet, it's a conviction and something that he had between him and the Lord. What's the first thing that happened when he compromised on his convictions between him and the Lord? He lost his power. He lost his power. He walked in obedience and to that thing that the Lord, between him and the Lord for so long. And then he just slacked and he said, you know what? Forget it. It's not worth it anymore. He lost his power. Did he still go to heaven? I think he did. He's mentioned in the Hall of Faith. In Hebrews, of the men with faith, that live by faith. He makes some major, major blunders. Oh yeah. Do I want to pattern my life after him? No. I was thinking about that scripture. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. I was trying to fit that in with this. And I'll tell you right now, there are some convictions that if you don't abide by it, it is sin. And those convictions are in here. Like the ones we talked about. This says to love your neighbor as yourself. If you don't love your neighbor as it dictates that should be your conviction, brother, sister, you're in sin. You're wrong. If your convictions don't line up with this, if this word, this whole book is not your conviction, that I stand on it. One time, a young man came to Smith Wigglesworth and he said, "Smith, can you give me a scripture to stand on?" He said, I'm losing my faith. I don't know what to stand on." And it says, Smith took his pocket New Testament out of the back of his pocket and he threw it down right at the kid's feet. He said, "Go ahead and stand on that." And the kid just kind of looked at him. He said, "Stand on it." So the kid stood on his Bible. Said, "You stand on that." It's that simple. It's an object lesson. Use that in Sunday school. They're good. We don't talk a certain way, do we? I'm one of the only guys I know that doesn't use swear words at work. Every Christian I know will swear a blue streak. That goes to church and call themselves Christians. They'll use every foul word you ever heard. But they go to church. But they call themselves Christians. We don't go to certain places, do we? There are certain places I don't go. And you're not going to bring me inside them. I'm not going to go there. You shouldn't. There's certain people we don't commune with. I don't say we don't talk to them. Certain people you don't fellowship with. You don't. There's certain thoughts we don't entertain. We take them captive. You kill them. And it creates discipline. Those convictions bring you closer. The beautiful ones, the very beautiful ones, are the views of certainty that are just shared between you and the Lord. You know why? Because they're the ones that tell me you've been with Jesus. We all share these. And they're wonderful. And they're good. But when you ask the Lord to take you up higher, build upon this in my heart. Give me revelation, enlighten this in my heart, and take me higher. Transcend what I think I already know and build upon that foundation. And He teaches you things in this Word or brings out scriptures you've never understood before. And He asks you to walk in it. Those are the beautiful ones. Because those are the ones that are alive in your heart. So my encouragement to you is to return where you first loved. The fire that once burned bright, don't let it grow dim. The convictions, the personal, resolute stances that God has given you, stir them back up inside you, because there's many in my life that I've let die down. And I've swept them under the rug. It's just too hard. Just too difficult to maintain those in this world. It's rapidly changing. It's perverse. I could just be a little different. The standard's still the same. And He still has those in my life. I just don't maintain them because it's hard. That's the truth. It's difficult, so I don't do it. But ask the Lord to stir them back up inside you. Ask the Lord if they can be reinstated. Seek His help so you can be strong standing with Him, not with the current of common, complacent camaraderie of the world. And those, if you feel like, you know, there's not anything in my life really that I feel like God asks of me, that me and Him have just between us, that He calls me to walk in or expects of me. I don't feel like there's something like that in my life. Ask Him for something. Ask Him to take you deeper. You know what? I am such a firm believer, and you can go as far as you want. You can go as deep as you want. There's not a limit to the depths. You can go if you want. He'll take you. But it's hard. But it says that His yoke is easy, His burden's light, and it says that He'll take you, that He'll hold you. So if you want to go deeper, ask Him. Ask Him to show you. And it may be something in your life that's sin. It may not just be a conviction. You may have sin in your life that God says, you know, you got to stop that. You can't do that anymore and go deeper with me. You're stagnated. You're at a standstill. And there's things like that, you know. This is funny, but this is something God deals with me about, man. you ride with me in my car on rush hour, you would not think I was a Christian. Galloway! The gas is on the right, you know. You know, I get fired up, you know. You know, I want to rip their out-of-state plate off and, you know, break their window with it, you know. I get fired up. And that's one thing the Lord dealt with me. You ask my wife, she carries a little bar of soap. And but I get upset. And that's one thing I know the Lord wants to change in me, you know. Be quiet, you know. Peace be to you, you know. You're only going to get home 15 seconds later than you would. So that's something simple in me, but, and sometimes it's that easy. Sometimes it's that simple. You're in prayer. Okay, I'll stop with this. This is a true story. I was in prayer one time, and I was crying out to the Lord. I mean, just crying out to Him. And a lot of time had passed, and I was still in prayer, and I was like, Lord, I'm not leaving until You give me something. You know, You speak to me. I'm not leaving this prayer closet until You speak to me. And I was serious as a heart attack, and I'm in there, and I'm praying, and I'm just, you know, the clock is just going, and I'm, you know, not moving. And I was earnest. I was sincere. I wasn't doing it out of pride. And I was praying. I just felt the Holy Spirit speak to me so simple. He just said, you know, just wash their feet. Just wash their feet. And I was like, that's it? Just wash their feet. I felt like He just said, just love them. You know, that's what I want of you. Just love them. Just wash their feet. I was like, oh, it's so deep, you know. Thank You, Lord. But it's true, you know, and he speaks to you. And He does have requirements for those that want to go deeper and want to walk with Him. And that's a beautiful thing. That's all I'm talking about this time, about your convictions. And that it's important for you to have convictions between you and the Lord. Father, we thank You for Your word, God, and I thank You for the lives of so many that we can learn from. And You didn't hide their faults, and You didn't hide their blunders from our sight, God. Men that did horrible, horrible things, God, but You used them so mightily and powerful, God. Read of the mighty men of David. They did amazing things for You. Men that killed a lion in a pit on a snowy day. A man that stood and held his ground and killed hundreds of men all by himself. Those that know their God will be strong and do exploits. God, it's only those that know You. God, raise us up. Raise us up, Father. God, we don't even have to see ourselves as foster children or adopted, God, because we've been grafted in. We're of the seed, God. We're born of You. We were reborn. That's why Your word says we have to be born again. You're not content just to have foster children, just for us to be adopted into the kingdom, God. We have to be born a second time. Born into You, into Your family, Lord. God, and begin to make us and mold us in the image of our Father. Use whatever means are necessary, God, and change us. Speak into our lives and change what's there. What's ever in the closet or in the corners, God. Sweep and clean our lives, God, and speak the convictions that were once there. Raise us up, God, and let us walk according to Your word. Give us strength and steel in our gut, God, that we would walk with You in spite of what the world may think and what they might say or sway us to do. And Satan will fight against our intimacy with You and our personal walk that is seen only by You. God, we thank You for the grace and the strength, and most of all, Lord, we thank You for the blood. In Jesus' name, amen.